If you would look in Genesis, you know, there's a lot of things going on in our generation. There's a lot of false teaching out there. How many have heard any false teaching recently? You know, how about this one here? Come to Jesus to get health, wealth, and prosperity. Don't we sort of give that message? If you just come to Jesus, your life's going to be better. You know, there's no guarantee coming to Jesus is going to make your life better. You know what coming to Jesus guarantees? Eternal life. That's it. Come to Jesus, why? To get Jesus. To get Christ. That's the only reason we sometimes try to sell the gospel. You know, the gospel is not marketable. Do you know that? You cannot market the gospel. Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through him. That's it. There is no other name given under heaven whereby man shall be saved. That's it. He paid the price. Now, should we be nice to people? Let me just say this here. Should we act out like the Savior we came to? How about trying that one as a church, as an individual? Let's just act out the Savior that we came to. Christ in all of his glory. One rich man became poor. Why? So that many poor, spiritually poor people could be rich. Not pocket rich, not possession rich, not even healthy rich. Were the price paid for all those things? Absolutely. But come to Jesus. Why? Because he's Jesus. Because he's Savior. Because he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And then as you come to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, how should you act out? How should you act out as a believer? What's that? Like Christ. Now, how would Christ act towards now? You know, we start giving value. I read, this is another, these are some of these one-liners you read. When you start debating which sins are really bad or which ones are the worst, consider the first sin was just a bite of apple. Did that sound all that bad? Just to pick one piece of fruit? Does that sound like a really bad sin? Huh? Rebellion and sin is the same. And you know, what do sinners do? Huh. And what are Christians to do to sinners? Love them and make a difference. Guys, it's gospel time. It's gospel time. This afternoon, it's gospel time. So we can look at some of the stuff and we say, oh, no. I mean, how many people dislike Disney? It's okay, you're allowed to. But how many love the gospel connecting to people that they'll come to Christ? That's the whole purpose of everything. We can look at so much stuff and we can be so critical. But you know what? It's a revelation of our hearts. It's a revelation of our heart. How you act out is a revelation of your heart. When someone does something that you don't agree with, how many of us go to them or do we talk about them? What's easier? Talk about them. What does God say to do? How many of us can start acting out Jesus in this generation? How many of us can start loving and reaching out to people that are lost? You know, now, I said we're going to catch you up today. I'm going to catch you up. What is the Bible about? Martin Luther said you can sum up the whole Bible in one verse. Does anyone know what that one verse is? John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son to whosoever believeth in him, what? Shall not perish but have everlasting life. Whoever, the word believe there is not just simply, we have made even Christianity like it's magic. If you just say the right words, if you just act the right way, that's not gospel, guys. Man, I am a new creation. What happens to a new creation? When you create something new, what happens? It's different. And I used to be, but now I'm not. How about you? How about you? How many of us have taken our old ways of doing things and brought them into our Christianity? The Bible is about God. And I could just stop there and say, you're caught up. Start reading in Ezekiel tomorrow or today. I could do that. I looked on the internet and there's these things and I would just catch up there. You know, Genesis, creator and promise. I'm going to talk really fast for 1 minute, okay? I know I talk fast a lot, but I'm going to talk even faster than normal for 1 minute. All right. Genesis, creator and promise, redeemer. Exodus, Passover lamb. Leviticus, high priest. Numbers, water in the desert. Deuteronomy, he becomes a curse for us. Joshua, commander of the army of the Lord. Judges, delivers us from injustice. Ruth, our kinsman redeemer. 1 Samuel, all in one, he's a prophet, priest, king. 2 Samuel, king of grace and love. 1 Kings, a ruler greater than Solomon. 2 Kings, a powerful prophet. 1 Chronicles, son of David that is coming to rule. 2 Chronicles, the king who reigns eternally. Ezra, priest proclaiming freedom. Nehemiah, the one who restores what is broken down. Esther, protector of his people. Job, mediator between God and man. Psalms, our psalm in the morning and in the night. Proverbs, our wisdom. Ecclesiastes, our meaning for life. Song of Solomon, author of faithful love. Isaiah, suffering servant. Jeremiah, the weeping Messiah. Lamentations, he assumes God's wrath for us. Ezekiel, son of man. Daniel, a stranger in a fire with us. Hosea, faithful husband, even when he ran away. Joel, he is sending his spirit to his people. Amos, deliver justice to the oppressed. Obadiah, judge of those who do evil. Jonah, the greatest missionary. Micah, he casts our sins into the sea of forgiveness. Nahum proclaims future world peace we cannot even imagine. Habakkuk crushes injustice. Zephaniah, the warrior, says, Haggai, restore our worship. And I forgot to type the next page. Did you get it? Probably not. What is the Word of God about? God. The Bible does not give a definition of God. God does not try to reveal himself through the Bible. Does a God who created everything need to reveal himself? Look around. It says creation cries out there is a God. All of us are without excuse. Now, how should you live out the gospel? All of us, how should we live out the gospel? How can we live out the gospel? Turn to Ezekiel chapter 14. This is what we've read this week, and I'm going to catch you up through Ezekiel 14. One chapter will catch you up to everything that God desires. Now I'm going to give my 3 minute, maybe 4 minutes of God's word, okay? That other one was on the internet. Here's mine. Genesis. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Jesus is the seed that salvation will come to the world and stomp on Satan's head. I love the Savior and his plan. In the beginning, God created it. Genesis 3:15, and I'll put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and hers, and he will crush your head. The enemy's head. But Joseph said to them, in churches for each of us, do not be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for the good to accomplish what is now being done. In our generation, God intends for good to accomplish that which is being done. The saving of many lives. So church, don't be afraid. Exodus. God seeing the misery of his people, God showed up in the desert. The Passover lamb, that Jesus is the covering of your heart and your life. And listen to Exodus chapter 2. God heard their groanings and he remembered his covenant. So God looked on the Israelites or his people with and was concerned about them. Is that not gospel in our generation? Is it not gospel that what the world might intend for evil in your life, God is intended for good because God wants to save many lives? Why are you here today? Why did God create you? Leviticus, God's discovered grace. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. The high priesthood is established, and Jesus now is always interceding for us. I love this verse, Leviticus chapter 1. When any of you brings an offering to the Lord, bring as your offering an animal from either the herd or the flock. In fact, the law requires, Hebrews, defining the whole book of Leviticus, that nearly everything be cleansed with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness. Jesus is our high priest, and now he calls you and me to be a royal priesthood in this generation. That we are to stand in a gap for a lost and dying world, loving them. and being the people that God called us to be. Why? Because we are to reveal the Lord wherever we go. Numbers. God knows you by name. He's written you on his hand and his heart. And he's with you. Is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? This is not a I hope so. It either is or it isn't. And it's written there through acknowledgement of who he is and what he did. What Christ did was enough. Are you numbered as a person of God? And in 1 Corinthians says, now these things happened, occurred, and talking about the cloud by day and the fire that led by night, the bronze snake that was lifted up, that Jesus himself was compared to the bronze snake. Just as a snake was lifted up in the desert, as the Son of Man be lifted up, he'll draw all men unto himself. Now these things occurred as examples to keep us from setting our hearts on evil things. Deuteronomy. And this is why I challenge people over and over to keep reading God's word. Deuteronomy, the word deudo means do over. Do you know that? That Deuteronomy means do again, retell the story. It's basically Moses retelling the do-over of the law, the desert, and the promise. The law, I love to do over God's word over and over and over again because I want to hide God's word in my heart that I might not sin against him. So planning to enter the promised land. Moses retelling the desert event. And now we have a better promise and a better land and a better way to enter through Christ. Joshua, God is the God of promises. Nothing is impossible for him. Jesus, the captain of our salvation, who asked Joshua, whose side are you on? Today, God calls us to promise, to stand on promises. Continuing quickly, a little bit faster now. Judges, man demonstrates his need of God. And when we turn from God, it brings judgment in our lives. But God is just waiting for us to turn back to him. Where are you at right now? Are you in a place where you're feeling like, oh, God's just waiting for any of us to turn back to him? God's grace, God's mercy, and then a revelation of his spirit coming upon humankind. And as God's spirit comes upon people, we will be able to do the impossible that we cannot do ourselves. Ruth, the kinsman redeemer. I love this fact that just that God just a mess with the house of Israel and their pride. He threw a Gentile in the lineage. Isn't that pretty cool? He just said, you know what, I'm gonna mess with them. I'm gonna throw a Gentile in here so they'll know that I love the whole world. It's not about any one of us. It's about God loving the unlovable. Do anyone know any unlovable people? How many of you are a little unlovable? Being honest, I'm not always likable. I don't even like myself sometimes. You ever do that one? Try that one on for a pair of shoes, you know? It's like, oh, I can't stand it. Oh. But God loves me anyway. And I love that word today because that's what that word really said. Your pain and your conflict, I love you anyway. 1 Samuel. The prophet Samuel with the word of the Lord. And he is the rejected prophet. Because the people want a king. Jesus Christ, the rejected King of Kings and Lord of Lords, is still to be demonstrated as the Lord and Savior of the world. That even though the world rejects him, he still loves them. 2 Samuel, David, the lineage of Christ, really now is shown so strongly. But it's shed again. Grace is totally demonstrated by God's favor and mercy. David did not deserve to stay on the throne. I guarantee you this. If I acted out like David did, how many of you would vote me out of your church? And if you don't raise your hand, there's something wrong with you. Seriously, if I acted out like David, you would need to vote me out. But God's grace and mercy. the most broken man in the world, God called him a man after his own heart. Because God doesn't look at the outer, he looks at the heart. I've done the wrong thing with the right heart, but I've also been penalized because I did the wrong thing. Bummer. But I had a right heart. How many of you done the right thing with the wrong heart? Maybe there's no, we can overlook it here, but God knows your heart. God knows your heart. Psalms. The Lord is who is to be worshipped at all times with all our heart. Where do you go when you're in trouble? David's source was the Lord. Jesus, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall have no needs. First Kings, the splendor. Now you're thinking, hard. You're not going in order. I'm going in the order of the chronological Bible. Okay, so First Kings, the splendor of Solomon. Shallow living with the externals. How many of you are guilty of living shallow in the Lord, but you look good on the outside? And we just say, oh, thank God for all my, oh, God has blessed me. Don't be deceived by outward blessings, guys. Don't be deceived by outward blessings. What looks good on the outside doesn't mean it's good on the inside. So, just a thought. Not a thought, fact. The great I am wants to be Lord of all. Second Kings, the mighty prophets Elijah and Elisha. They demonstrate what God could do through obedience and walking by faith. Are we willing to allow God to use us with our everything, even in the midst of a generation? And Elijah and Elisha, they serve the part called Israel. When King Ahab, one of the worst, Ahab and Jezebel, people use those names to this day. Could you imagine having a name that's almost like using God's name in vain, except for in a Christian way? The spirit of Jezebel. What's the spirit of Jezebel? You're either rebellious or you're not. You're living for God or you're not. What's your heart like? Are you living for God or not? It's a yes or no answer. It's a yes or no answer. Anyway, continue. I want to watch out for little horse rides today. First Chronicles, retelling of the life of David and the more spiritual aspects. First Chronicles leaves out some of those things that David did. Left out Bathsheba and a few other things, you know. The priest wanted people to know just the goodness of God. Second Chronicles, David will never fail to have a king on a throne. That rule, the divinic rule of kings on an earthly throne, ended. But the king is still on the throne. Is God on the throne of your heart? Is he still Lord and King of all right now? Proverbs, wisdom. The beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. Song of Solomon, author of faithful love, the picture of a husband and wife. The church is the bride of the groom, Jesus Christ. He came to redeem his bride, and he paid the price that you and I could be as white as snow. Ecclesiastes, finding the meaning of life. There's no meaning without Christ. Christ, when Solomon ended it, now the end of the matter is very clear. You and I need a Savior. Obadiah, the mighty Savior who judges the oppressor perfectly. Joel, the judgment of God is to get our attention. In the last days, I'll pour out my spirit, even though the judgment's around us. You know, God wants to pour out a spirit that you and I can stand in the midst of this. Joel 2, 28 and 29 is fulfilled in Acts chapter 2, but it's being fulfilled today if we allow it. Jonah, the rebellious prophet. Let me ask you this question. To what extent will God chase you? To the ends of the world, it seems. There's hope for all races, because I love this, even in Jonah's rebellion and how he disliked Gentiles, those who were not part of, he was prejudiced. God still saved a bunch of Gentiles on that ship when he was still acting out. They threw their idols overboard and started worshiping God. God will use us even when we don't want to be used. And then thank God for his mercy in Nineveh. even though eventually Nineveh was going to be the place. It says 100 years later, Nineveh was the country that came down and was used as a judgment of God. But God's judgment was not to be mean, it was still to get their attention. And I love the fact is that Jesus himself used Jonah as his example. And that's why we don't think Jonah was a parable. We believe it's a true story. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the huge fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Jesus Christ crucified, Jesus Christ risen, Jesus Christ coming back again with a message for God to love the world. Hosea. How many would like to be Hosea? You men. Any man want to be Hosea? That's a bad call. That call would really stink. I praise God that God let me marry Heather. You know, praise the Lord. I don't have to go buy her back. My three children are my three children, and I know it. Hosea's kids weren't even his. Look at the names. Yet, God told him to go and buy her back. Wow, that's love. God using that man to demonstrate his love. Even when we were. Amos, the shepherd prophet from Judah who went to Israel. I love when the king said, tell that prophet. He says, I'm no prophet. I'm a farmer. I want to go back to Judah. I'm not a prophet in Judah. God just told me to come here and give you a message because God loves you. Boy, isn't it amazing the extent that God will do to let people know that he loves them. Are you willing to go the extent to let people know that God loves them? Start acting out, God. Isaiah, the prophet with judgment and hope. Unto us a son is born. Unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulders. And he shall be called Emmanuel, Counselor, Prince of Peace, Comforter. The virgin shall conceive and give birth. Wow. But here's the real kicker. Isaiah 61. The spirit of the sovereign Lord is on me. Jesus said, because the Lord has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. Sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, proclaim freedom for the captives and a release from darkness for the prisoner. To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. This is a message that God gives to the church. And it can only be performed through Christ. Micah, he has showed thee, O man, what does the Lord require of you? Me. To act justly. How many of you are acting justly today? How many of you love mercy? Only when I get it, it's hard to give it. How many of us are walking humbly with our God? Zephaniah, a man's passion for the day of the Lord. Jeremiah, the weeping prophet. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I'll raise up David's righteous branch. Habakkuk, though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vine, though it looks really bad outside, yet I'll rejoice in the Lord, for the sovereign Lord is my strength. Habakkuk 3, 17 to 19. And then Daniel, the prophet in exile, the young man who chose to live for God when things didn't look good. And Ezekiel, over and over, the two messages I see in the book of Ezekiel is the Son of Man and that God wants people to know, to reveal, to have an understanding that the Lord is God. That was his message. Probably written over 30 times that they may know, that they may know. Ezekiel 14, verse 12. The word of the Lord came to me, Son of man, if a country sins against me by being unfaithful, and I stretch out my hand against it to cut off its food supply and send famine upon it and kill its men and their animals. Wow, sounds like judgment. If a country sins against me. Now, how many of us have recognized that our country is sinning against God? How many know that our generation is sinning against God all around us? Now, but listen to this. Even if these three men, Noah and Genesis, Job considered the oldest written book, and Daniel, who was a modern day person as they recognized as a righteous man, were in it. They could save only themselves by their righteousness, declares the Lord. Wow. He says that righteous people, those who live for God, will be saved. How many of you believe that God can save us no matter what the government does? I'm not controlled by government. I'm not controlled by culture. And I'm not going to be controlled by family or friends. I want to be controlled by God. Who controls you? Or if I send wild beasts through that country and they leave it childless and it becomes desolate so that no one can pass through it because of the beast, as surely as I live, declares the Lord, even if these three men were in it, they could save not their own sons or daughters. They alone would be saved, but the land would be desolate. Or if I bring a sword against that country and say, let the sword pass through the land, and if I kill its men and their animals, as surely as I live, declares the sovereign Lord, even if these three men were in it, they could not save their own sons or daughters. They alone would be saved. Or if I send a plague into the land and pour out my wrath upon it through bloodshed, killing its men and their animals, as surely as I live, declares the sovereign Lord, even if Noah, Daniel and Job were in it. They could save neither son nor daughter. They could save only themselves by their righteousness. Your righteousness makes a difference in a generation. Will you and I stay faithful to God? My heart oftentimes breaks over, you know, everyone knows my story. I've never hid anything from anyone. We have one son that doesn't always live for God. He believes, but he doesn't walk with God. We pray for him. We cry for him. We believe that God's going to do a miracle. God gave me a promise before I came to this church. And I'm hanging on to the promises of God. How about you? I'm hanging on to what God has spoken to my heart about our church, about my children, about our family. But still, my heart breaks because I don't see him where I know he'd be in a place of blessing. Oftentimes, we feel guilty about the direction of a generation in the world, but God calls us to live righteously for him no matter what. I can't help what sinners do. Why? Because sinners sin. But I can make a decision how I'm going to live and the righteous life that God has called me to live in this generation, no matter what it's like culturally. Noah lived righteously in a vow culture. Noah lived righteously in a culture that was very vow, V-I-L-E. I know I probably say the word like I'm from West Virginia. I'm sorry. Noah, the oldest who by faith built an ark when called to step out in faith. What is culture? Culture is how we live, how we behave, how we act, and how we accept what is normal. But Noah lived for God, though culture did not. This is out of Robert Winning the New Civil War. So, speaking about our generation, it says, what is culture? It is a way of thinking, living, and behaving that defines a people and underlie its achievements. It is a nation's collective mind, its sense of right and wrong, the way it perceives reality, and its definition of self. Culture is the morals and habits a mother strives to instill in her children. It is the obligations we acknowledge toward our neighbors, our community, and our government. It is the worker's dedication to craftsmanship and the owner's acceptance of responsibility of stewardship. It is the standards we set and enforce for ourselves and for others. Our definitions of duty, honor, and character. Our definitions of duty, honor, and character. And it's a collection of the consequences. I look at our culture today. I'm in this world, but I'm not of the world. I am to live for God. I don't like what a lot of things are going on. You look at the culture Noah lived in. Listen to Genesis chapter 6, verses 5 and 7. The Lord saw how great man's wickedness on earth had become, and that every inclination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil all the time. The Lord was grieved that he had made man on the earth, and his heart was filled with pain. Wow. That's how God saw culture. His heart was filled with pain. Now the earth was corrupt, verse 11, in God's sight and was full of violence. Sounds like America. Sounds like the world, not America. It's a culture that has rejected God. But God saw how corrupt the earth had become, for all the people on earth had corrupted their ways. But Noah was a righteous man. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. He chose to live for God anyway. How about you? Who do you live for? Daniel lived resolutely and undefiled under a repressive government. Daniel was found to be faithful even when his world acted out. There was not a million people taken from Israel and Judah into captivity. There were only a few. Most of them were killed. Innocent people suffered everywhere. And now Daniel, one of the few that was taken into by Nebuchadnezzar to Babylon. And because of his skill and his ability to learn, he was put in the palace. And he was told culturally what he was supposed to do. But Noah prayed. Noah, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We don't know what happened to all the other young people that were there, but we know that four stood up. Would you be one that stood up, or would you be one who just went with a crowd, or would you be one who laid down? I don't know. Daniel was a captive in a foreign land. The government was corrupt. If you look at Daniel chapter 3, Nebuchadnezzar made an image of gold 90 feet high and 9 feet wide and set it up on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. He then summoned he thought he was God. And he let Herod loudly proclaim, "This is what you are to command, O peoples, nations, men of every language. As soon as you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, and harp, pipes, and all kinds of music, you must fall down and worship the image of gold that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. Whoever does not fall down and worship will immediately be thrown into the blazing furnace." How many of you would bow down? Oh, you know what? I'm gonna bow down, but I'm not going to worship him. I'm going to just be streamlined. I'm just not going to say those words. They'll just think I am. Or how many of us would really worship just to save our necks? Or how many of us would say, what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? I don't know where Daniel was on his time, so he's not mentioned in this part. They made a statement that the Lord our God is still God. If he saves me, he saves me. But even if he doesn't, he's still God. We will not bow down. Daniel lived resolutely for God. You can see this in Daniel 1, verses 8 and 9, and Daniel chapter 6. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did in Daniel chapter 3. Last one, Job lived righteously even without wealth and comfort. Job trusted God. At this, Job got up tore his clothes. This is after his children were killed. He lost all of his possessions. He lost everything. The only thing he had left was a wife who complained. And that's nothing against her. I don't know how I'd act. How many of you would act out if all your children and all your wealth, all your comfort was taken away from you all at once? One, your husband stands up and says, or your wife, "I'm going to live for God for anyway." Here's what Job said. At this, Job got up, tore his robe, shaved his head, then he fell to the ground and worshiped. "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave, the Lord has taken away, but may the name of the Lord be blessed." And all this, Job did not sin by charging God with wrongdoing. If I get an ingrown toenail, I whine. Any whiners in here over ingrown toenails? God, why me? Why me? It's not fair. My life stinks. They looked at me crooked. God, do you know what that person did? Do you know what they said? Do you know what? Man, I struggle with that stuff sometimes. It's like, just live for God, Pat. Shut up. Sorry. His family, his wife was difficult. His wife said to him, "Are you still holding on to your integrity? Just curse God and die." He replied, "You're talking like a foolish woman. Shall we accept good from God and not trouble?" His friends were not supportive. "You must have done something wrong. Just come clean. Just be honest with us. Come on, Job. There's some secret sin inside your life because your life isn't good." Noah was righteous when everyone around him was not. Job, though tried by fire, he stood up and kept his faith, was found faithful even if he lost it all. And Daniel was found to be faithful even when the whole world acted out. You're caught up. That's what I hope all of us got from God's word so far this year. That God wants us to live for him no matter what. That there is a God who's alive in this generation. That God wants to make a difference. But more than anything else, if we can just make it clear what's church about. It's not about a good song or a bad song. It's not about a good sermon or a bad sermon. It's not about what we like or dislike. It's about who he is today. That the Lord, if he is God, if he is Lord, serve him. Joshua's great challenge. If the Lord be God, serve him. Or no, Elisha's great challenge. If the Lord be God, serve him. If Baal be God, then serve him. Joshua's great challenge was, as for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. If you're to that place, you've gotten everything you need to get out of God's word to point. If you've fallen behind, it doesn't matter. Start in Ezekiel this week. Who cares? Just keep trugging along. Some of you say, you know, I'm one of those guys that just always have to finish everything. I drive myself nuts, so I can't even skip words. It's like, what's wrong with me? It's just who I am. I'm wired wrong. I'm wired right, oh, because this is how God made me. Thank God. But if you could just get that, if you want to keep going and takes you 2 years, praise the Lord. If you want to catch up and start in Ezekiel right now, about two-thirds of the way through, that's good. I'll let you know exactly where you're at. I read today's yesterday. You'll be reading, actually, back to Jeremiah tomorrow morning, Jeremiah 23. God loves you, church. God loves his church. So much that he died for it. He loves the church so much he wants to empower you to live for him. He loves the world so much that he sent his son to this world that he would save them through you and me. He loves so much he wants to make a difference in our generation. How do we make a difference? I might not be able to stop anything, but one thing I can do to the best of my ability, just like Noah, Job, and Daniel, they lived for God despite culture, despite politics, despite family that rejected them. They lived for God. And they made a difference. Because Ezekiel had to put their names down in a terrible time when he was the prophet that was with the people that was in captivity. They all wanted to go home. But they needed to learn to live for God right where they were at. I want oftentimes to see all this corruption end. I want to see a different president. Just to be honest, I don't like him, okay? Period. All right, there. You feel better? But I'm called to pray for him. That's what I'm called to do. I'm called to pray for him. And God loves President Obama. God's going to love the next one too. I don't know what he's going to look like, who he's going to be. I'm glad that it can't be President Obama because he's already been in two terms. But I start getting scared when I think, oh, no, it could be. You put the name in. It doesn't matter who it is. Sin or sin. But God is righteous, and he calls the church to live in his righteousness that he paid for on the cross. That I can be righteous in this generation, that his word and love can still go forth. Will you do it? Let's pray. Father, help me. Help me in a corrupt generation.